to the talk.
And of course, I once in a while I will completely forget to bring the talk that I wanted to give, which has happened. And most of the times, anybody who sits up front sees that I actually never really look at my notes. But actually, the talk I was going to give, actually, I did need my notes for, because I was going to give a talk on Buddhist communication strategies. So don't worry, I'm still going to give it. It's not gone away. It's not a one-shot only thing. But tonight I'm just going to give a talk off the top of my head on a subject that's equally important as soon as we figure out what it is. Ah, yes, I know what I'm going to talk about. Okay, so when I first got into the Theravada and the teachings of early Buddhism and stuff like that, years ago, I loved how it not only meshed very well with my studies of neuroscience and my aversion to mystical abstract teachings. I like teachings that are very concrete and very easy to follow. But there was a couple of teachings that really sort of irked me. One of certainly the most was the Brahma Viharas, Metta, Karuna, Mudita, Upekkha. The Brahma Viharas are the four divine abodes, by which the Buddha meant four types of attitudes or types of thinking, emotional states we can carry that are safe. Meditation in Buddhism is not about not thinking. Good luck if you try to make that the cornerstone of your practice. And also very much, if you study into the Buddhist teachings, actually the first jhana, the first divine state of concentration, is actually brought about by using thought. So thought is very important. There's kinds of thought that causes stress, physical and mental stress. Physical in that it makes the body uncomfortable. Mental in that it multiplies and fills up the mind with thinking. For example, thoughts about myself, what's going to happen to me, what do people think about me, how much money do I have, how do I compare with other people. Those kinds of thoughts tend to multiply and fill up the mind and make the mind uncomfortable and agitated and the body stressed out. But there are safe thoughts, and the Buddha came up with many lists, but one of the most profound safe lists of safe attitudes and thoughts are the Brahma Viharas. Brahma divine Viharas abodes. And it means safe places to rest the mind. So, the four, metta, is often translated as goodwill, and sometimes unfortunately translated as unconditional friendliness. The second, karuna, is compassion. The third, mudita, is appreciation, especially appreciation of the good fortune or skillful fortune or righteous fortune of others. And fourth is upekkha, which means balance or equanimity. And I'm going to tell you what all of them means. But the first one, when I heard it, metta, goodwill, unconditional friendliness, I thought, ew, this is going to be a really hippie-like, awful sort of teaching of pink, billowy clouds and cotton candy where I'm going to be asked to love everybody. And that was deeply unattractive to me. And of course, that's not what the Buddha was on about at all. one of my favorite, there's many favorite monks of mine. I loved Luang Pora, who's also known as Ajahn Sumedho, who said that metta, or goodwill, what it really means is not allowing your mind to settle in to aversion all the time. And we do tend to have minds that are either split between really being upset with something that's going on out there in the world, or being really, really attracted to something that's out there in the world. We tend to have a push-pull, give me this, get rid of that, relationship with the world, with the people around us, with the things in our lives. And one of the most pleasant things about meditation is when we close our eyes and when we allow the world to fade from the foreground of our awareness, just that letting go of pushing and clinging and grabbing and holding and wanting to get rid of things in the world, just allowing the world and all the dramas out there to be out there and not the center of our focus, is so relaxing and so calming. So the very heart of goodwill or metta is really about not wishing harm for anything or anyone. It's not about approving of everything. It's not even accepting of everything. It's simply not wishing harm for anyone or anything. We start within. Because if we don't feel goodwill or a lack of harmful intent for ourselves, then it will be totally hollow when we try to send it out to other people. It really makes no sense to try to practice goodwill for others if we do not feel goodwill for ourselves. It will be a totally inconsistent, empty game. And also, if we don't feel goodwill for ourselves, we will be so stressed out within by our lack of patience and forgiveness and tolerance of ourselves that we will be constantly yanked away. Our attempts to practice goodwill for others will be sabotaged by our inner stress. So we start within. And one way to practice goodwill is by being aware and without having an agenda of pushing or trying to destroy whatever is going on inside of us. Even if it's fear or it's anger or it's craving, at first seeing what's going there on inside and then developing an attitude of wishing ourselves well. At the core, metta really also means, beyond not dwelling in aversion or harmful intent, it means wishing that all beings are self first in our practice, and everybody else will be in the second part, that we all stop the causes for our stress and suffering. It's about wishing that we would all find the true sources of peace and serenity. That's what goodwill really boils down to. Buddhism is always about the deep awareness that we are the authors of our happiness, our serenity, and of our discontent, and of our lack of peace. Sure, there are things that happen in the world that cause this suffering, that cause dismay, but we add so much more onto it. As the Buddha said, for every arrow we get shot with by the world, we add in countless more arrows, wondering, why did this happen to me? you know, how much I hate this person, what I'm going to do, you know, how I'm going to avoid this situation in the future, blah, 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 blah. We just add on all these arrows, especially the taking it personally. Why me? Why me? Why me? Everybody experiences suffering. Everybody experiences the bad things. So, the core is to wish ourselves to not, to wish ourselves that we would find the sources of true peace. That's what goodwill means. So, we first practice that with ourselves, that when we are stressed out, worried, anxious, depressed, rather than just wishing that this experience would just be destroyed or gotten rid of, we see, oh, okay, this is what's going on. I really deserve to be happy. I really hope that I will again turn the focus of my awareness to acting in upright ways that will cause happiness for myself. That's what it means to feel goodwill, to really want to author actions. There are in Buddhism no god or gods up there looking down and deciding who gets Christmas presents and who doesn't. The people, or the person, I should say, who decides the quality of your life is you. Your actions determine how your mind will be. So you don't have to appeal to anyone else. You have to appeal to yourself, wish that you would act and speak and think in ways that are rewarding so that in the future you will be peaceful. That's the goal. So when we turn this outwards to all beings, then the goal becomes a challenge to ourselves to how limitless can we make this attitude? How limitless can we make this desire for all beings to not suffer and to find the source of true peace within? When you think about it, why would you want anyone to suffer? Think of the worst, most stupid person in the world. I always immediately go to somebody like Dick Cheney or to somebody who works for Fox News. But the idea that, oh, if only this person would suffer more, all that would mean is that they'll be more unskillful, because unskillful actions are caused by stress. When we act unskillfully, it's because we're stressed within and we're trying to get it out of us the wrong way. When we are truly peaceful within, we do not act harmfully towards others. So if I really want someone who's an asshole, and yes, there are assholes out there in the world, but if I want them to be not assholes in the future, the trick is not to wish them to suffer. It's the exact wish the exact opposite. I really want that dick to find true peace. Now, it's not like we have to play policemen like the U.S. We have to go around bombing everybody to punish people. Because guess what? A, when we're angry with them, they don't feel the fact that we're angry with them. You're not that powerful. I'm glad you're not. But I'm not that powerful. I can't injure somebody with my thoughts anyway, so it's a total waste of fucking time, right? So the only person that's really suffering by these thoughts of, oh my God, I really can't stand that person, I wish they would just go away completely and evaporate, that they would spontaneously combust, the only person that's suffering is me from those thoughts. So it works both ways, always. Because if I'm relaxing my attitudes towards others, I'm going to cause less stress, I'm going to feel less stress, and our relationship between me and that person is going to be improved. So everybody will win. Certainly I will win. So as a test, if you really don't think you've got any aversion, or that if you really think, yeah, I got a lot of goodwill, I really am, my goodwill is pretty limitless, then you're not looking hard enough. I've heard that from monks over the years, and it's true. If you really think, oh yeah, I've got lots of goodwill, I've got a heart full of love, then you're either very scary in your delusion, or you just haven't looked hard enough, because we all have limits to our goodwill. And the challenge is to not start all the time or just rest the mind entirely on the people where it's fun to think thoughts of goodwill towards. It's really important to find where the limits are. Go there to the limits of your goodwill and ask yourself and challenge yourself again and again and again, why would I want this person to suffer? Why am I repeating the story of how unskillful this person is in my mind? What good is going to come of this? Nothing. So it's really about going to the boundaries, finding where the limits of our goodwill are, and then pushing, expanding them. Because the more we expand our feeling of wishing other beings would find sources of serenity and peace, the more comfortable our minds will be. When there's a limit or a boundary, the mind literally feels closed in. It doesn't feel as expansive as it can be. So then we get to the second, which is karuna, compassion. And again, it's about, okay, there is suffering. I've suffered in my life. I can understand it. Even though my suffering might have been different from this person's suffering, even though this person might be doing something that I can't relate to, they might be shooting dope and I didn't shoot dope, or they might be completely messed up and they might be a gambling addict, or they might have spent themselves into poverty, things that we can't imagine. But the point is to remember what it's like to suffer and to feel empathy and a desire where we can to be as benevolent and helpful in pointing them in the right direction. It's not about, surely sometimes in life it's about if you can be helpful in terms of giving something, but the most important thing is to share our experience of how we found true peace within. What skillful attitudes, what skillful actions, how we've found skillful, supportive people in our lives, how we've developed a spiritual practice, anything that we can share that can help them find true peace in a place that provides true peace. That's what is the cornerstone of compassion. So again, like with metta, with compassion, we're trying to push the boundaries. And remember that compassion is not pity. Pity is, I'm over here, and that poor, poor person is over there. Ew, they kind of smell, but I will give some money to a charity, or I will give them some money in their bowl, whatever, but I will never experience anything like that. It's about recognizing suffering in ourselves, knowing that we deserve to be peaceful, and then feeling that for somebody who's suffering. Moving on to the third, which is mudita. This is, I've been told, the most difficult of the first three to develop. Appreciation. Appreciating when, for example, if we're an actor and somebody gets the part we want. Appreciating when somebody that we've been slightly competitive with gets great news. If somebody we know is in a band and we're in a band and they get a record deal. Whatever. It's about feeling a sense of happiness when others get righteous rewards for their actions. Now, it's not about feeling a sense of happiness when somebody steals or mugs or robs or exploits. There is very much at the core of this practice a recognition that it's for people who have acted, who put effort into whatever endeavor, and feeling good for them, knowing that they are models that we can follow. And even if it doesn't, something hasn't paid off for us, if we can feel happiness when other people achieve something in life, then our happiness, the source of our happiness, expands greatly. If I can feel happy when you're getting something, a good reward for a benevolent action or for hard work, then I have so many more sources for inner peace, or for at least peace. I have so many less things threatening me. Rather than seeing your good fortune as taking something away from the pool of happiness. Happiness, as one monk is taught, is not a zero-sum game, because it really doesn't come from things that can be used up. The Buddha said that when he looked at humanity, he saw a bunch of fish flopping around in a puddle that was drying up. And what he meant was that people were looking for their happiness by exploiting the resources of the world, by taking from others, by using up the planet. But that's not what this is about. This is about feeling good when other people feel a sense of accomplishment or achieve something that's worthy. And again, we challenge ourselves. How far can I push this feeling of appreciation? How can I widen this? Make all of these first three a challenge. Not to just sit and, oh yeah, I've got it covered. But to really find, okay, where has there been a time when somebody has actually wound up with something, you know, that they wanted, where I was resentful, or I just felt somehow threatened, or I felt excluded. How can I go there and look at the fact that this kind of thinking is causing me suffering, because it's ingraining the idea that true happiness comes from the world and taking things that are going to run out? That's not where happiness comes, or peace. So the first three are summarized by the phrases which we can recite. May I be truly peaceful, which is metta, or goodwill. May all beings be truly peaceful. The second is summarized with the feeling of compassion, is may I be free of stress and suffering and fear. And then may all beings be free of stress and suffering and fear. And the third, you can use your own language. I use, may I appreciate all the worthy rewards, or skillful rewards, or righteous rewards I've accumulated. And then may all beings appreciate their righteously earned rewards. But the fourth, equanimity, or upekkha, is different, because it's summarized by this, the phrase that is used in monks' meditations and other Theravadins' meditations. The first phrase that completes the prayer, if you want to call it, or meditation, is May I remember that all beings are heir to the results of their actions, are heir to their actions. We are the owners and heirs of our actions. So the first three are wishing something that will come to pass. We're wishing that we'll find true peace. We're wishing that we can feel compassion, and that other people who are suffering will find release from their suffering. And we're wishing that we could develop appreciation for others. But the fourth is simply a statement of what is. It's not about wishing anything will come to pass. It's a restatement of karma. And the reason the Buddha did this is because he wanted us to know that there are times in our life where no matter how compassionate we are not going to be able to help someone. We're not even, if it's an inner state that where we don't feel well and we want ourselves to feel better, we still might feel shitty for a while. Or we might try to help someone and they still might suffer for a long time. So part of equanimity is having the balance to realize when we've done all we can in a certain area and we move on to some place or someone where we can be more helpful. Everybody I've ever met has always wanted to have a great relationship with their parents. But so many of the times in life we have to learn that, wow, didn't get the conversation I wanted this time with my parent, with my dad, with my mom, with my sister, with my brother, with my aunt, with my whatever. And so equanimity is not keep knocking again and again and again and again and again on the hardware store trying to get orange juice, as they say. It's about going to the grocery. That's what equanimity means. It means, okay, this person, it's just not right now. Whatever the karma of their past, whatever the karma of my past, by which I mean the actions that they've taken and I've taken, we're just not getting along. And rather than force it, I'm going to bring my compassion and my appreciation and my goodwill to a place where I can really, really be helpful, where it can really, really result in something worthy. Now, that doesn't mean it will never, ever happen. When we say, okay, that coworker, just not going to happen. I'm trying to appreciate them. I'm trying to be compassionate for when they're stressed out. I'm trying to wish that they would find true sources of inner peace, and they still bug the shit out of me and act like a jerk. Well, there's time to say, okay, rather than keep banging against that wall, I'm going to just refocus elsewhere for a while and get that whole experience again flowing, as they say. I hate flowing, so forget that I said that. But get the emotional state back in gear. Because all these attitudes are like muscles to a degree. They need to be worked. If we keep banging up against someone who is just, it's just not working with, it doesn't mean give up. Or it doesn't mean we can't experience goodwill, compassion, and appreciation. It just means we need to redirect our energies. Even in our own experience, there are times when we might experience a sense of an inner mind state, an emotional state. It could be anger or frustration or fear. And we can try all of our spiritual practice to try to calm and send this replace these thoughts, or try to relax the body so that the thoughts relax. Or we could try to refocus elsewhere. But some part of equanimity is just acknowledging, okay, it's not working. Getting peaceful again, and then looking over our lives and see where else can we redirect this energy. So, if you want to practice these, the phrases again are, may I be peaceful, may I be free of stress and suffering and fear, may I appreciate my righteous rewards or the just rewards of my actions, and may I remember that what I'm experiencing are the results of my actions, and then send these thoughts outwards to all beings. May all beings be peaceful or find true peace within. May all beings be free of stress, suffering, and fear. May all beings appreciate the skillful rewards of their actions, or their worthy rewards, or their righteous rewards. And may all beings know that what they are experiencing are the results of their actions. All beings are experiencing their karma. So, that's tonight's talk. I hope you got something from it. Very much an awesome